Alright then guys, what is going on? My name is CloudPlays and welcome back to the Crimson Cast. This is episode 5 and boys, have we got an absolute banger for you. This guy is absolutely awesome. He has got so much going on right now and he's, for me personally, blowing up and becoming one of the best up-and-comers in the Destiny 2 community. This guy is a massive community-based guy who smiles 24/7, a laugh which is completely contagious, and a Scotsman fully and through. This guy right here has got 1.2 thousand followers on Twitch and a community that battles the best. Introducing to the show, Pigeon. How are we doing, sir?
Hello there. I'm fairly well, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, man. I'm not too bad. So, this here is the Destiny 2 podcast premium show, and we focus on the creators. For those of you who are new to the show, this is essentially your number one place, hopefully in the future, to be able to get to know all of the content creators within the Destiny 2 community. Now, Pigeon is a Twitch streamer, which is probably the most enthusiastic guy that I've ever met in my life. So we are going to crack in to what we like to call the icebreaker, which is the beginning part of the podcast where essentially we get to break the ice. Obviously, we've had a bit of a chat prior to this, but this also gives people who don't know you a bit of an insight into some of the quirkier things that you may like to do in your spare time and stuff. Okay?
So, am I getting judged in this?
I mean, there may be a bit of a prior judgment. I know you say this on every episode, so if you guys are regular followers to the show, I do apologize, but we had Anubis on, and he was judged heavily within the first 10 seconds.
Right, wow. Okay. Damn it. Anubis, dude, I'll try to be proud, man.
He's a good man. Right, okay, so question number one, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Okay,
with loads cereal. Of sugar in it.
With lots of milk and sugar. 100%, man. Yeah. Just got to stay away, you know. Question number two, cereal in the morning or at night?
Both. I am dedicated to breakfast and supper. I don't know if people call it supper elsewhere, but I call it supper. Like, absolutely dedicated to it.
Wow. I don't think I've met many people which genuinely still eat breakfast. Especially really? In the gaming scene. 100%, man. Nobody's awake at that time.
That's so weird.
Right, okay, question number three is pineapple on pizza.
Is this where Anubis, like, slipped up?
This is where he slipped up, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy a good pineapple pizza.
No way!
I'm sorry, I actually work for a pizza place on the side, so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Slipping pizzas, and I enjoy, like, the pineapple pizzas. It depends what you mix it with, but, like, yeah. That's the tough one. I'm sorry I let you down there.
No. You are good. You are a rare breed, but you are good.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Next up is console or PC?
Well, I've only been PC for the past few months, and I could tell you I wish I'd been on it sooner. PC all the way now.
Awesome. And Destiny Master Race.
That's a tough one.
Oh, it is. It is.
I'll tell you what, I'll say, because I'm maining it this season in Destiny, I'm maining my Warlock, so I'll say Warlock
today. Good man.
Yes.
Good man. That's exactly what I'm going for with this season, and I think for like the whole of the next DLC, which is a big old movement, but I'm going to be maining the Warlock throughout that one. I've mained my Hunter throughout the entire time, but my Warlock's taking pace now. My Warlock's taking pace.
Nice.
So, okay, delving a little bit into you, okay, because obviously this show is primarily about you guys and it's how you kind of got into what you're doing and where it is that you think that you're going to go with all of this. So going way back at the beginning, where does gaming start for you, or at least where do you remember it starting?
I've been gaming all my life. I remember, well, this was more so family pictures, but there's a very particular family picture of me. One of my first households playing a Sega Mega Drive, and I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
And there's a picture of me just sitting with the biggest cheeser on my face. And like that, I think that was me on my journey, and I've got my dad to thank for that. He's always been interested in technology since, well, that would have been the 80s, early 80s and early 90s. And it's always been a part of my life, like coming home from school every day, all those Christmases, getting a new games console, getting the latest games. Thank you, Santa Claus. Yeah, coming home from school, I remember getting a PlayStation, and I think I didn't look back once I got the PlayStation. I
Yeah.
remember opening it up that day, and I had a game called Ape Escape. I don't know if you know that one.
I
It
do
was one of the
remember that
first,
actually.
it was one of the first games that like used analog sticks,
Yeah,
which were
yeah,
released as well. Really intuitive. It was just amazing fun. But I played a bit of everything. I think as far as like first person shooters, didn't really come into my life until PlayStation 2, Time Splitters. If you ever played Time
yes,
Splitters,
that's a
I think
good
that was one
game.
of my. Oh well, we could go back to the N64 and say GoldenEye. But anyway,
That was where I started, man. That is a banger of a game.
it's amazing, isn't it? But FPS games, I think Call of Duty was my first sort of main game that I played multiplayer and voice chats and stuff with folk at the time, PlayStation 3. And I didn't actually discover Destiny until Total Chance. It's been out for like about 2 years at this point in time, or it
Wow.
had its first year. I'm a year 2.5. I wasn't even there for the beta. I
Whoa.
was never a Halo kid either. I was never an Xbox like player, if you know what I
Yeah.
mean. I didn't own Xboxes till way down the line, and that was just to play exclusives. So Destiny didn't come into my life, and I'll tell you how it came into my life. I went into the pre-owned section in Game, which is like the UK high street like games flipping place to go to, and I bought Bloodborne and I bought Destiny, just whatever the case was, the basic Destiny
Yeah.
1 case. At the same time, they had Destiny the Collection and the Taken King, and I was looking at it, I was like, I don't know what that is. Is that sequels or what? And went home, didn't even touch Destiny, played Bloodborne, and I had never played a Soulsborne game, by the way, so I very quickly gave up on that. I was like,
Yeah.
this is not fun. The
No, that's a
next
difficult
day,
game.
yeah, it was solid. But the next day, I put Destiny on the disc drive in my PS4, and well, I got hit with a nice, neat 100 gig odd download, update, patch monster. So I didn't actually get to play it till I got back from work that night. And I tell you, dude, I will never forget the moment that I pulled the trigger on the first gun. I saw the damage number come up in screen. I felt the controller motion. I was a big fan
Yeah.
of the Xbox's controller motion for like Halo, the vibration function and whatnot. And it just felt like that straight away, that sort of tactile feeling. And I was home. And this was after years of playing RPGs and like the Final Fantasy series, I'm a huge
Yeah.
fan of. But that mixed with, I can't even, I don't know how to place it, man. Like I saw those damage numbers and it just clicked. I was like, oh my flip, this is RPG-esque vibe straight away. The gun game feels perfect, and I did not look back.
That seems to be the case with a lot of like people, just general players as well, not even just content creators, but like that was exactly the same for me. Since I started playing Destiny, it never went any other way. I have dipped out during quiet periods, but I get dragged back in every single
Oh
time.
yeah.
It was like the number one love of my life as far as gaming.
Oh yeah. Same. Literal mood, man.
So from that point then, obviously, because you've been gaming for a very long time, what was it that kind of made you want to go into content creation with it then? Where did you kind of like look at it and go, I'm going to start putting myself out there as a part of like this gaming community, and I want myself to be heard?
Honestly, when I first made a Twitch account, I'm pretty sure it was to watch one of my pals from back home, and I didn't quite understand it. I didn't realise what I was doing, but I was watching someone play a game, and I think that's where my initial discovery of Twitch was. It was sitting interacting with someone who was playing the game rather than going in a voice chat with them or this or that. That person's now partnered on Twitch, by the way. That's like a
Hey.
saga there. Props to them. But it was last year I started streaming. It was like January, what, 2019, and I says I'm going to start streaming. I only had a PS4 still at the time. I didn't have a PC rig. I didn't have cap cards. Didn't have any flashy at all. Just the go live button on my PS4.
Yes, mate, that's
And
where I started. That's the way forward.
exactly. It's amazing what you can do with a PS4 camera, having a laptop. Luckily enough, I had a laptop because I studied at college, and that was it. That was my into the Twitch side of things. I wanted to show people how much I love Destiny. That's pretty much what it was like for me. I was like, I'm going to play Destiny and try and get people interested in it. That's what I tried to do.
Yeah.
So I'd post my links on Facebook to all my friends. Kind of fell on deaf ears because really the people on Facebook in my real life were not going to be my audience at the end of the day. They were
Yeah.
my friends, they're amazing pals, but that wasn't my audience. And I started the people that I played with, some of them streamed as well. They had their sort of communities going, wee small communities. And I managed to get in with them at the time. My first sort of stream team, pseudo Discord group. And we played Destiny together, we loved it. And that's all we really did at the time. Played Destiny, I streamed, but I don't think I streamed with the purpose that I found over the past year, which in
Yeah.
its own saga. I moved flat last July. That was about 8 months down the line from casually streaming, maybe doing 3 or 4 hours a night. Some days I wouldn't bother at all. I would just log in and play the game.
Yeah.
But July last year, I moved house to a new, well, a new flat, obviously. And I discovered my internet wasn't going to be up to scratch the same way my old flat was. So I had to stop streaming in July last year. And that was PS4 streams. And at the time, I had a wee following, had people that I played with, I'd met some people. And I had to stop it dead in the water, man. Like, I couldn't stream with the internet. And for those that want to know, it was 5 megabytes download and about half a megabyte upload. Copper wire internet, dude. And a prominent area in Scotland, Glasgow, like south of Glasgow. That's when I took to Twitter, and this is where I think the sun just clicked in me. I was like, I can't stream. I can't do the thing that I like doing.
Yeah.
I took to Twitter, and I literally, if I saw a Destiny profile pic or anything, they got followed, and I started talking to people. Every day it was just my phone out. I got heavy pillars at work for it, but I was just on my phone, on Twitter, trying to follow as many people as humanly possible that were Destiny people.
Yeah.
And that's like where I said, this is where I discovered who my real audience would be. And that was, well, that was July last year. Fast forward to February this year, and I discovered, or I say I discovered, the phone companies and internet companies had started doing these things called 4G Wi-Fi boxes. I was quite interested in it, but I was really worried about the data consumption and having a cap on an internet package. So I tried one with a company with a cool-off period, and done all my speed checks and stuff on my PS4, and I was literally looking at 50 megs download and about 25 megs upload. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, that's literally a miracle box right there. So having gathered so much people on Twitter that were interested in Destiny, and of course Twitch as well, all the time I was in people's. See, I missed. I see. This is how I tell a story, but the Twitch side things as well. These people on Twitter were also on Twitch. I was in their streams. I was watching what they did. I was watching how they streamed and what they were about, and I learned so much, man. Like, just endless amounts of knowledge, and I'm still learning to this day. But that allowed me that night. It was a fateful night. I think it was like a Tuesday night. I literally pushed live on my PS4, and I said to Twitter, I said, I'm trying out this 4G box. I'm live on Twitch. Come see if it works. And I kid you not, versus my last ever stream in July last year, I went on to have the busiest, like, viewer counts. Obviously, I don't do metrics, but at the time, I was really excitable about it. I was like, wow, my viewer count shot right up. All these people started following me. And I was like, oh, hi, it's yourself. And that was it. Like, I was back.
Wow.
I was doing the thing, using a 4G box on my PS4. So that has been since February this year. I recently had an inheritance from one of my late grandparents, God bless them. I got an inheritance. My parents actually said, "Why don't you should put it towards a car?" And I said, "I think I should put it towards a PC." And they spoke about it, and a week later, they said, "Right, we'll put money towards a PC with that inheritance." And by the end of March, luckily I knew people that had technology skills, PC skills. So I got a friend to spec and buy a rig for me that would game and stream for me. And then our good old friend COVID kicks in
Oh,
about
no,
the end of March it was. And literally, you don't mind me telling this, by the way, so I'm on a heavy tangent right now.
No, no, you're good. You, mate, this is all about you, man. I love hearing these stories.
This is their story. This is what will bring us to, like, today, right? Cool, I'm just checking. So I can ramp on sometimes.
No, you're cool, man.
So, yeah, lockdown happens, end of March. I just got the PC pretty much up and running, and I get furloughed. So I work part-time, as I said, in a pizza place, yeah. As I was telling you. I go straight in furlough because I'm a non-essential. And I'm not even kidding, I didn't have a desk, but I started streaming from my kitchen. I just set it up in my table in the kitchen and started streaming playing PC in general. I'd never played Destiny in PC at this point in time. I just made myself do mouse and keyboard. I fired up OBS for the first time and got some like basic template overlays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, that was it. That was me in. I had the hardware to back up what I could give as content. And that was another thing I wanted to say. Like, see, even though if you, this goes out to everybody, by the way, if you're starting out streaming and you've got a console that has like a basic streaming function to Twitch, just push that live button. You never know what's going to happen, like what you can deliver to people. And even if it's just you streaming to a couple of friends, you're playing Destiny while they're at work or something, that's something. That's like a starting point. Those are your first followers. They could be your first, like, subscribers and supporters of the channel, you know. And I think that was where I'd found my potential, going hand in hand with the Twitter thing that I'd done for 8 months prior. It all just came colliding in as soon as I had the PC to stream from, making the content using, well, OBS. I don't think there's a better broadcasting software.
No.
If it is, I've not heard about it. And I was able to start making the content that I've been wanting to make since January last year, playing Destiny, not to mention the amount of people that I'd met on Twitter who were also PC gamers. And honestly, my Steam friends list is like twice as long as my PS4 friend list, and like half the time, pretty much. And
that's pretty crazy, because essentially, like, the way that you've kind of worked it is extremely unique, because essentially, like, the way that people would normally grow their platform and be able to move their way forward is growing on social media alongside their streaming and build that up slowly. What you essentially did was you put yourself out there without actually having to be out there. So the moment you press that go live button again, you were already, and it shows in your Social Blade figures, and it shows solidly. It was amazing. I was doing a bit of digging passe, looking at some figures on you and stuff like that beforehand, and you can see where the switch got flicked. Like, it's brilliant. And for me personally, I think there's so many people in this community right now which have got such high and untapped potential that you wouldn't hear on a general basis. And I think that for me, that's why this podcast exists. It's to reach out to everyone and anyone in the Destiny 2 community that is doing what they want to do. They're doing their bits. And mate, honestly, after looking at some of your streams with your, for me personally, your biggest move is the community nights. They are absolute solid gold, and the way that you do them is absolutely amazing, because there's a genuine care for your community. With your community nights, how did that sort of like come about? I know it seems like quite a standard sort of thing, but what was your thought process behind the community night? Because for me, watching it, even though it's a standard set, it is so unique because of the way that you do it.
I appreciate that, dude. One of the things that I wanted to do as well, hand in hand, was have my own Discord. Up to this point, I'd used like a Destiny clan Discord, which kind of fell on deaf ears again because there was too many channels, there was loads of people on different platforms. I feel the console players out there don't really use these like unique platforms because everything needs in front of them. They've got their party chat and stuff, and they've got their console. Yep. Whereas in a PC and a Discord, and like right now I'm sitting, I've got Discord here for the call, I've got my internet open on Twitter, and literally having all that at your fingertips is so powerful to start like nurturing your community. So the community night thing, I don't even know what it was. I was just like, I've got a few folk watching me. I'm gonna, I don't get to play with everybody all the time. Let's do a community night. Let's play. I love Jackbox, by the way. It's like, see, Jackbox, it plays itself. and it's always a laugh.
Yeah.
So I just started 18, well, that was our 18th community night, bar 1 week off. So that's been 19 weeks kind of spanning the start of lockdown, or some point in the middle of lockdown. And I literally just made it a thing, a staple on the channel, Friday nights or Saturday nights, 9 o'clock. And I don't know, it's just, it's came leaps and bounds, dude. The community just converges on it. The people that I've met, befriended, and all the other viewers and stuff, like, I count most of my viewers as my friends, obviously. But getting everyone involved to play silly party games that you can open up in a web browser is just so much fun. And sitting in a Discord chat, like, a lot of Discords, you'll have a live room where it's a locked-off place for people, but I don't use my live room anymore. I literally just sit in my Discord where, like, 15 other people say sometimes, just all screaming and bawling and having a laugh. And I think, for me, my attention span can be terrible, so I feel like that's given me an advantage to, like, tune out from it whilst I'm streaming.
Yeah.
And that's how we've ended up on these mad community nights. And like you said, you were watching one from last night, which is quite an epic one, to say the least. And we just have a laugh. It's about playing the games with each of the community. And I get to just pal about with everybody. It's just nuts.
Well, it's what the platforms were built for, though, wasn't it? It was built to give people sort of like their own social space within other people's social space, if that makes sense. And yeah. I think that's like, as far as like how you sort of run your channel, I think that is probably the best way to describe it. I think there are a lot of different niches in Twitch, and it's very difficult to sort of be able to platform where it is that people are and where they fit in, because a lot of people try to copy what other people do. I think where it comes with you, and I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think for me watching as a viewer, your main goal is to make sure that whoever goes into that stream walks away with a smile, because it's hard to explain. For those of you guys who haven't watched Pigeon before, you need to just jump in for half an hour, or just jump in and watch a couple of VODs, watch a couple of clips, because the personality really comes out in it. And I think the one thing that he does right is that his prime focus is you guys. There are a lot of streamers out there who will just play the game and not talk to anyone in their chat, and because they're that good, they make it in that scene, and more power to them. But I think that a real entertainment value is a personality that you can really back behind. And I think that's where your community nights really shine, because I think it doesn't really matter what you're playing, bro. Like, they are there, they are supporting, they are absolutely loving their night, and they're watching on the screen, and that's crazy. And that's got to feel so good from like a content creator's point of view.
As I'll tell you something, in that sense. So again, the Discord thing was about not falling in deaf ears and actually having continuous conversation. So on the daily, before I went live, I used to sit in my voice chat, just went in voice chat, and I would type in the Discord. People that followed from the Twitch channel and stuff, I'd say, I'm sitting in the voice chat, feel free to come talk, or just type in general chat. I'll be here for a bit. And slowly but surely, it'd be me. Then there'd be someone else, maybe, come in and say hi. Oh, hi. Never spoke to them in my life. And I'm like, oh, hi, you watch Twitch? That's amazing. Well, we'll hang out. And now there's not a day that goes by that I'm at work slinging the pizzas, and I look at my Discord, and there's like people sitting in the voice chat, like 6-7 people, probably playing Destiny or playing all their various games, but they're all there in voice chat, and I don't even have to be present for that. And
that's
that
amazing.
Blew my freaking mind. That literally blew my brain. I was like, that was me 4 or 5 months ago on my own, and now I'm not even there, and there's people using the Discord as their social space.
That's amazing. I love hearing those sorts of stories, because for me, gaming gave me that alternate dimension, that place where you could recreate yourself, because I think a lot of us gamers are, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, we're extremely unique, and most of us are quite outcast like as far as like real life goes and stuff like that. Before the gaming scene, like, I didn't really have a lot of friends. So like the gaming scene gave me, it just gave me that mold. So the fact that you've kind of like designed that space, even like out of game, in a Discord server where people can just hop into a call and just get to know other people, and they're all just chilling, and that's and you don't even have to be there. That is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
Best feel in the world, honestly.
So as far as you as a streamer, as far as you as a content creator, and I know this is extremely broad, and I know this is probably going to be quite difficult to answer, but where do you see yourself going with this? Is this something you want to take completely full-time? Are you wanting to sort of like venture down different avenues? Because a lot of the people we've had on have got sort of like side pieces and stuff like that. Obviously, with Anubis, he's doing really, really well in his streaming platform and stuff like that. But he's also doing like the whole apparel design and stuff like this. So like, for you as a content creator, where is it you see yourself going in, say, like the next couple of years? Is this something you really want to make a full-time like job?
So again, for those that don't know me, I recently sort of graduated from college, got an HND for sound production. And I'm going to university to study sound design.
Wow.
With a means to do sound design for video games and or TV and production. Ideally video games, though. That's the real end game. But for me to study the next 2 years, my current sort of goal is to get the content on Twitch to a level that could support me through university.
Yeah.
And I feel that doing sound design and working in the video games industry goes hand in hand with a Twitch channel as well. So I think my long-term goal is to definitely see through my degree and find the career that I want to do for that. That I actually jokingly, one day when I was applying for college, I was like, I wonder if there's a sound design job at Bungie. And literally top posting for sound department, a lead sound design member. And I was like, my dream job's literally right there. But it's about 5 to 10 years away from me, which is... Yeah. 4 years at uni, and then the years working up to a lead sound role through whatever different companies. So as far as the content creation, I'm going to keep going the way we are. The channel's definitely on its way up just now, which is mind-blown, to be honest. We had 1,000 followers recently, and it's already 1.2.
Yeah, you're averaging on about 290 followers every 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's just mind-melding. Like, it just blows my mind. Don't get me wrong, you just get the occasional follower. It's maybe not a viewer, but they've dropped your follow. They might check you out sometime. But for that core viewership, like, it's on the up. And I love seeing things. Like, I love cause and effect for these sort of things. So if I say or do something on Twitch, I have a particular stream and I see how well it goes, I'm like, yeah, that's working. That's, like, a smart approach. And honestly, I could go on again. This is my own methodology. It's different for everybody. But like, I set personal goals, and I try not to look at metrics week on week. I tend to space it out to like a month.
Yeah.
And see how well things are going for that like phase, if you will. If I hit my personal goals, if I need to change something up, do I need to push myself for on Twitter? Do I need to change what I'm gaming? Do I need and so on and so forth. I jokingly said to my community that obviously we don't know what's happening with, but Guardian Con, are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
It's like the premier sort of Destiny community, gaming community convention in Florida.
Yeah.
I jokingly said my goal would be to be partnered on Twitch by that time next year as a kind of year goal.
Yeah.
I always remember when I started out on Twitch, someone said, you become affiliate, then you get your partnership, then you become a full-time streamer. It's like, it's not these things, these milestones don't mean you're full-time yet, but you're on the grind. And I think I'm happy to stay on the grind. I love what I do. I love what I'm learning as well with my career. So it's all going to go hand in hand, I reckon. That's my plan. Keep it hand in hand.
That's really good. That's really good. I think it's kind of good to have that happy medium between sort of like the gaming life and the normal life as well. And I think that the career line that you're kind of pursuing and the career line that you really want to end up in can merge so damn well with what you're doing right now. And I genuinely, more power to you, man. I wish you all the best with that, because I think it's something that can really, really be pushed quite well. And I think after university, with you being the the person you are in the community already, in the Destiny community, the gaming community. I think by the point that university is finally finished, I think you will, with no doubt, either have a job there waiting for you or already be in a position where that job is the next move up. So more power to you, man. 100%. 100%. So going into Destiny a little bit, talking about the your kind of like your viewings on the game at the moment, the placements of where it is, where it's going, because at the moment I feel like Destiny is not in its general space. Obviously, we're used to having those quiet periods and those dead points. But we're not quite used to knowing like the next three big expansions all in one bloody go. So I think that Bungie have definitely done things a little bit differently. So at the moment with Destiny in its like general stasis, I think a lot of people are finding that there's not really a lot to do per se, just so people can kind of grab some ideas of things and what it is that they can do. When you go into Destiny at the moment, what are the things that you kind of focus on as far as once you log on and you get into it?
Yeah, you're totally right, man. I think Destiny, when you play Destiny at a certain level, it's a very self-glorifying journey. Like, mm-hmm. your play sessions are dictated by your own, like, personal goals. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I'm right now, I seem to have missed a lot of PvP the past few weeks, so I was actually playing a bit of Trials of Osiris before came on tonight. And I was having fun, but practicing as well. I really want to get good, as some might say. I don't consider myself a sweat. I think I'm quite an average player at best. So for me just now, focusing on PvP skills, definitely. Especially going into year four, we don't know what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that Trials will evolve into a more desirable playlist that you want to be on top of your game and come out, like, you want to come out with those adept weapons and go, I'm the daddy, I flipping smashed that flawless card. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my current goals. For my normal sort of play sessions, I'm obsessed with chasing god rolls, like, the perfect roll on anything. So, like, if I was being specific, right now I'm farming for a fake bringer 2.0 from the Garden of Salvation Mets, which is your ancient gospel hand cannon.
Yeah.
Typically, fake bringers outlaw dragonfly, but it can roll with rapid hit and dragonfly, which I think would be a superior sort of roll. Mm-hmm. So I'm chasing that. That's like my Moby Dick just now. It's my white whale. I'm like, that's been since Shadowkeep launched that I've been chasing it. Still no dice.
Damn.
And I think just getting the old year four prep is one of my things as well. There's nothing more satisfying than putting time in a season to come into a year four or the next year of content with all your materials in order and you're ready to like get your character super powerful off the bat. Like, that's a great feeling. So I think that's 100%. My three main like things just now.
So are you like into the seals or titles or anything? Because I think that kind of there's a very like split community with that, like up until probably this point. So I'm starting to get prepped up for the next big season, for the next DLC. I'm starting to get prepped up on everything and get everything ready. But the only things that I'm really going for, other than a couple of god rolls here and there, are the titles, the seals themselves. Because I've never focused on them. I haven't got a single seal whatsoever. Because it's not kind of been anything that I've really wanted to push for. Obviously, I did know in your streams, you did mention that there are a few seals that you've got. But obviously, you didn't go too deep into it. So what is the seal to you? Is it something that you generally grind for, or does it just happen?
So, good question, man. Like, I know exactly what you mean when people are divided. My biggest thing with doing seals is dependent on what the requirements are at the end of the day. It's a funny one for Destiny, but I hate a go and pick up object hidden in the world. Mm-hmm. Like Triumph, if you will. Yep. Example, like Ahamkara Bones for your Curse Breaker.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm not a fan. Like, my belief, this might divide people, but my belief is that's not something I personally think I could ever do on my own if there wasn't like YouTube guides and visual guides and stuff. I feel like it is a community effort. Here's all fifth, like the, just now we've got the
Savathun's eyes.
Yeah. I feel like not in a million years would I be able to get all 50 of those if I hadn't read a guidebook or had someone show me who'd probably seen a guide and or map. So seals and stuff that involve that, not a fan, but if it's stuff that involves me physically doing the main functions of the game, I think I'm quite involved in those. So like the Reckoner Seal, something I'm really proud of, was Season of the Drifter. I was still in PS4. Most of my clan went dry on Destiny there. They're like, nah, can't be bored with it. It was a miss season for those players. So I ended up LFGing and gaming. I was like, I'm going to get that Reckoner Seal. I looked at it and I was like, that's a grindy seal. A wee bit RNG, but not awful. But most of it was all gameplay focused around the Gambit Prime and Reckoning loop, which I'm a fan of. So I went out and did it. And it was maybe a month or two before the end of the season, or halfway through the season. I can't remember. It wasn't long ago, and I got the Reckoner Seal, and I remember my clanmates started coming back, and they're like, oh, you got the seal? And then they looked at the requirements, and like, oh, hell no. And I was just like, yeah, I went out there, I got
it. How long did it take you to get it just out of interest?
I can't remember, man. That's the thing. How long would that season have been? Maybe 3 months? It was four DLCs that month, so or four seasons.
Yeah.
So probably about 2 months, dude, if I was guessing.
Because Gambit's never been anything I've really been, like, paid too much attention. And I've only just recently gone for the Dredgen one, just because like that's a standard now where it's claimed to be like the easiest seal to grab in Destiny. So I just thought we'll start with that and see where it goes. And I'm quite enjoying Gambit. So I was looking at the Reckoner Seal afterwards, and I was like, I don't know. I've heard a lot of like sketchy points about it. So I was just wondering roughly how long it would take to hammer through before I went for that one.
I remember one of the community members, I think I had one before, Obi Katie Cat, got hers in like a day or two.
She is a demon, though. She literally sat down on one stream and hammered through that, didn't she?
Yeah, she went at it. GGs, by the way.
100%.
The season, I was going to add the current seasonal seals. I don't mind those either, because they are relevant to the current season. Most of them don't involve too many of those go out and grab thing bounties, but... And I like the idea of I was there. I don't like FOMO. I hate FOMO.
Yeah.
But I do like to have a seal to equip at the end of a season. Got my season arrivals.
Yeah.
Seal and whatnot. The pins as well. I love the idea of the pins, but I don't really keep trinkets about the place. I've got a few like sitting behind me here, but
yeah.
Great idea, but not something that would drive me to do it either. So I know people that just go at it to get the next seal for their their case or whatnot, which is totally cool.
Definitely. So looking at future DLCs, especially like Beyond Light, which is coming up obviously in November, we don't know a hell of a lot about it, although we do know we've got some new things coming, some changes that are going to be made, and the loss of some areas of the map, some new areas of the map which are going to be coming in. If you could speak to Bungie right now and give them one or two things that you would want to see come Beyond Light, changes that you would physically make to the way that the game is right now, what would those things be?
I'm going to have to like think for a second.
Because I mean, for me personally, I think like the game is in a really weird spot, and I think like the leveling system is a little bit skew-whiff, and I feel like... Yeah. I feel like raiding kind of took to a bit of a weird movement come Destiny 2. I was a massive raider in Destiny 1. That was where I had my claim to fame, par quote. I was a PS4 streamer, and I used to do raid carries and stuff like that. It went to whole new levels. It was crazy. But raiding in Destiny 1 feels so different to raiding in Destiny 2. So, like, for me personally, if we could get a raid which was, without it being like the Vault of Glass or something that had that Destiny 1 feeling, that Bungie feeling again, not that Activision feeling where it was kind of like, just pump it. So that would be, for me personally, it would be like the leveling system change and the raiding. But is there anything that you kind of do like on a day-to-day basis where you'd go, do you know what? I don't want to have to experience this. I want this differently.
It's staring me in the face. Literally, some sort of RNG protection. I think like for someone who, like me, who would happily do Guard of Salvation 5,000 times to get that God roll, rather than being limited to doing it 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we've got the Moments of Triumph just now, which is pretty much what I'm getting at, is farmable raids. That's one of the big things that I'd love to see. RNG protection for the leveling system, but like you said, total ski whiff, man. Like, it could do an overhaul. Mm-hmm. You've got people stacking 3 pages of bounties on each of their characters already. they're going to have the upper hand. It's like something's not right there. But yeah, RNG protection and farmable raids would probably be two things.
I think the farmable raids is something they must be looking at, especially at the moment, because the Destiny sort of community did shrink down quite a bit with the release of Trials of Osiris and the way that that plummeted. I think with Moments of Triumph, I think they've definitely acknowledged the fact, and you can tell that they have, because there is farming videos freaking everywhere all over YouTube about how to farm the raid. And they've said that it's not something they want to take out. So as far as like for Moments of Triumph, they're keeping it. I think they'd be extremely silly to take that out come like the next season or the next DLC, because it's that replayability. It's Bungie's wet dream. Like literally, yeah. That is the perfect movement for it. So I 100% agree with that. I think when we start talking about things like people's opinions on content creators and how it is that they view the game and stuff like that. One question which, when I was kind of like asked it my first time, I was really confused about it. But the more I've asked other people in these podcasts, the more it kind of makes a bit of sense to me. So if you were to be able to sit at a table with 3 other content creators and just pick their brains for a good couple of hours and kind of get to know how they do things, their view on things, and be able to learn specific things, what 3 content creators would you want to sit down at that table with?
Oh, that again, that's not a good gene. I watch a lot of YouTubers. It was literally one of the things that got me inspired to play the game, especially right before Forsaken. I was watching countless YouTube videos. To pick their brains, it's like...
Because at first I didn't understand it, but it's kind of like, for me, it would be people that you kind of, not aspire to be, but you kind of like aspire for that size, for that sort of the concept of what they do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I speak to a lot of people in the community and on Twitter and stuff like that. So like, this isn't to sort of like push anybody out of a side pocket or anything like that. This is just kind of like 3 content creators that kind of inspire you and you would love just to know a bit of information from them.
I think for me, I'll give you reasons for these as well.
Okay.
I think Azdacross comes to mind. I love watching his videos.
He's cool.
And he's got such an energetic mood about how he conveys the information in Destiny. Mm-hmm. But the thing that blows me away with him is how knowledgeable he is. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to, like, I'm always looking for that deeper understanding of the game, how things work. And he just has this very, like, he just knows his stuff, man. He's like, you watch a video and he'll tell you this and that and go, but aye, this gun's actually suffers from this for reasons. He'll be able to see the game in a way that I wish I understood, especially when it comes to, like, PvP stuff.
100%.
Like, I think I done a video recently, it's just like, there's no saving this gun. Like, I think it was the 180 Sudden Beasts hand cannon. Or the... No, no, it was the new Eyeklos hand cannon, which I wanted to get a nice spicy roll on, and then very quickly realised there was no saving it. And I was like, man. And he tweeted that, and I was just like, he was right. He just knew it out straight away that there was no saving it. So he's definitely up there, just for having that amazing foundational knowledge of how the game works and how he puts it across in his videos. I'm going to say it again, Obi Katie Cat, she's literally one of the reasons I stream. She started just before I started, like last year. And watching her community grow is just, that says just bottom line, super inspiring. I want to know how she just compels so many people to watch her play Destiny.
I think it's the dedication more than anything with Katie Cat. It's crazy. The dedication levels are just through the damn roof, man. Because obviously we've had her on the show, and I don't think that I could ever... I mean, I'm quite dedicated to my craft. I live and breathe Destiny, the streaming, the videos, the podcasts. I live and breathe it day in and day out. But I still feel like she's just that one tier above me where it's just never reachable.
She gives me that feeling. Now, Twitch is all about community and friendship, but there's still a wee edge of competitive side to it. Like you're going, I want to be as good as that person and then better.
100%.
But Kat, just to me, she's always one step ahead. I'm like, how does she know what to do here? How does she evolve her content in a way that keeps the people coming back and then more? Which is something I'm building on in my channel just now. I'm like, I'm really focusing hard on the Destiny content. So again, I remember a quote. I think it was the Forbes fellow. What was he called again? Why have I forgotten his name?
Forbes.
I'll come back to me. He's a he does the Forbes articles for Destiny, and I've totally forgotten his name. I'll bring up in a second. But he quoted on GLaAD at the time, and it was GLaAD's success. And he spoke about how GLaAD played the hell out of Destiny during Curse of Osiris when people were like fed up. They were like, "Nah, this is not a good DLC." And we all remember how kind of lackluster it was. And that's the same vibe I get from Kat. She'll play it because she loves it. We all love it, obviously. But some people do need to recharge and go, right, I'm not playing Destiny, I'm going to fire up a different game. And that's that. But she will always be the person to go to play Destiny. And I think that's another thing. Like,
It's a very difficult thing to do as well.
it's so difficult, man.
100%. I tried for so long just to be able to just grind out Destiny, and you end up with that solid burnout. And it's not even something that, because I thought, like, that's just me. Like, why is this happening? I can't understand it at all. But then I think most people get it. And Obi Katie Cat is just a different breed of human being where she just, like, she sees a goal. That's what she's going for. And I think if that's somebody that you're kind of like on that chase for, regardless of whether she's always one step ahead, I think that is a very, very good person to call, to kind of like take any level of inspiration from, or look at the way that she does things, because it's just, it's insane. 100% insane.
If you're listening now, Kat, you know I fucking love your shit, so what can I say?
Definitely.
Last person I had in mind was Kami Cakes. He is just absolute. I don't know. He's like a doctor of Destiny in a sense. Like his knowledge, again, the stuff that he knows about the game and its flaws just blow my mind.
I
He'll
feel like
pick
Kami
apart a
Cakes is
system.
so underrated.
So underrated, yeah. He's such an amazing PvP player. When you watch him play his scrims and stuff, he just literally commands the other team. He literally plays them into his hands. But when he does content, he'll sit there and he'll give amazing ideas to problems in the game and the state of game, and his like outlook and like agendas for the game. He plays that Phantasy Star Online, which he relates a lot back to Destiny. Says this could be better if this system was like this, and his love for that game. And it's amazing how he's not afraid to talk about his passion for another game and share it in his content. So again, he's like, pick his brain. Like, how do you come up with these ideas to problems and stuff? Like, knowing so well, even knowing a problem before it happens as well. Like, I knew this would happen, you know?
100%. I think there's some really good names as well, and I think they're. I get a lot of them, but I mean, bar Katie Cat, because Katie Cat is on a ridiculous sort of like upward slant right now, where everything's all systems go. But I think, like, I can never pronounce his name, Azdacross and Kamikaze are both really, really underrated. So I think that with their content, I think that's only just a matter of time. And I think that being able to be like able to pick their brains would be too big brains to pick, regardless of the situation. I think that as
So
far as
much knowledge.
PvP goes, there's just it's just numerous amounts of not. I'm not a PvP player, but I do watch Cammy, and I think that it's just crazy. Like, I know what you mean when you say, like, to be able to look at the game in that sort of that dimension per se. Like, you look at the game and you just sort of it's a PvP game. Whereas they look at the game and they see figures, they see numbers, they see lanes, and it's just nutty, man. Absolutely nutty.
Crazy.
But obviously, we have got Beyond Light coming again, like I said earlier. That is probably the next biggest thing And I think the weirdest thing that kind of like blew me out of the water was the character collection inside that game. So obviously we have got the Stranger, which is going to be making the return. We have got the Drifter. We have got Eris. These are all such weird people to put into one room.
We do not have Eris, the Drifter, and the Stranger walk into a bar, and you're like, what the hell?
It's the start of a really good joke, isn't it? Like, literally. Literally. So what's your kind of like your hope on storyline going into Beyond Light? With obviously, it's been a bit weak of recent. I'm not like slating the game on any level at all. But I think like storyline, something that kind of drifted off quite heavily. I mean, I think that now we've completely wiped Activision off of the game title. Bungie are now pushing for what they really, really wanted at the beginning. And I think that shows with the Destiny Vault. They wanted Destiny originally to last up to 10 years, I believe it was. And I think this was something that was always going to come. But what is it you are kind of like hoping for with this storyline, with the Stranger coming back as such an iconic point? Is storyline even something that is like a big part of it for you?
So this is actually something I've discussed in shows before, like chats before. And it's not so much what stories we're going to get. It's more so about tying up the ones that have been getting strung out for however long. Like, that's going to be almost 2 years since we saw... Well, not 2 years, but that's going to be, like, just over a year. Spoilers, by the way. Just over a year since we saw Uldren get resurrected. That's not been tied up yet. Cade's death obviously sucked, but all the stuff from his will is a really big sort of gap in the story as well. It's like, was Cade framed into becoming an exo? Was he, or he was paying his debts, obviously. So it's like, but how did he end up in that situation? I think finishing off the stuff that we've been wanting to find out for so long now, to then go into this new story and keep it all tied up. Like, it's, I don't know what to say, man. Like,
There's so many open gaps, and being able to tie all of them up is going to be near enough impossible. But I think there are some, like you say, some really big key point and moves which kind of need to be addressed, at least for our sanity. And I think the Stranger story is definitely one of them. And again, with Uldren, I didn't even think about it really, and I know that sounds really bad, but that literally just got left in the water. He woke up, and then that was it.
I think the biggest thing. Sorry.
No. Can you carry on?
The biggest thing for me is just how it's told. So lore cards and, we used to have the Grimoire, obviously. Lore cards is the biggest thing. I think they should shift to a more visual story-based telling, the way you do in classic campaigns. It's like, it's got a story loop for you, and it makes sense to the player. It's like, you did this because of that. Whereas, like, again, with Uldren, we're hearing about Uldren stoating about the tower, like, or stoating about the place with his ghost getting daggers drawn, and he doesn't know why. It's like, aye, cool, mate. But we haven't seen him. There's been no, like, in-game relevancy to it. It's not like, damn, there's Uldren there, he's back. Oh, my God, panic. And the same goes for when we get to see what happens to the Stranger. Like, are we going to find out what her deal is? Eris and stuff. Like, Eris is just one of my favourite types of characters, where... Yep. Totally shrouded in mystery. Same way the Drifter, to be honest. They know more than they let off. I love those kind of characters, so it'd be cool to like get a wee bit more of what they know poured into the story as well. Like, where we're all going with this.
I think that's definitely guaranteed. I think the kind of like the one big thing which kind of pointed out to me was there was a point in time where there was a part of a mission where you had to choose between the Drifter and the Vanguard. And I think that although it was quite a minuscule move, I think Destiny do quite a lot of those where they kind of like put little innocent things into the game which are going to make quite large impacts later on. I think that's definitely something that we're going to get, and I think that the storyline with the Drifter and Eris and Stranger is, at least I'm hoping, is going to be absolutely mind-blowing, because you could do so much with that, because it just makes no sense.
Exactly. That's pretty much it, dude.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Is the old raids something that you are excited for, or kind of a little bit gutted that they're moving in that recycling thing, because I've spoken to some people who have been like, well, we want new content. That's crazy for me. That's them bringing the Vault of Glass back is like a big love of mine. Like D1 Raids was my one and only love in gaming.
It was my first raid as well, man, if it was yours, first raid. And it was one of those things that just, again, at the time, the way my brain works is cause and effect. So looking at the, learning a mechanic in a raid was amazing. And like this goes forward to future raids, and it's when I get to teach people them. But going back into Vault of Glass, I tell you the one thing that I've got in mind is my dad, he plays Destiny. And he's obsessed. He's almost obsessed with me. He's on PS4 just now, but we're trying to get my PC. my thoughts are, from that time when Vault of Glass comes back to the game, my dad has never seen Vault of Glass, and he won't know what it's about. And I go, look at this. We're in the Vault of Glass. Mm-hmm. Like he played Destiny. He played Destiny 1 because I actually gave him that pre-owned copy at the time. And for him to actually go in it, having been wary of it, I think that's where my buzz is going to be. And I think the same goes to anybody that's maybe never played Destiny 1. Like, I actually couldn't believe the amount of content creators that had never played Destiny 1 before.
I know. And yet,
they're well in, they're all in on Destiny 2. So,
I think the whole atmosphere between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 really sort of baffles me, because I didn't actually realize like how low the number was for like people who have completed a raid or people who have completed like a higher tier, like a mastermind. It's tiny, man. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I think I kind of take advantage of like the position that I'm in, and I'm sure a lot of other content creators will as well. Like, when you've got so many people that are consistently like available there to jump into a raid and sort of stuff like that, I think you really underestimate like how many people can't do that content, and that's crazy. And that was what pushed me back in Destiny 1 in the final 8 months, I think it was, to really hammer in and get as many people through. I think we did something stupid like 103 to 108 Sherpas in Destiny 1, and I think that's just no, that blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind that the number is so damn low. So the fact that people like yourself and stuff are doing it, because I think you jumped in last night for a garden Sherpa.
I did, yeah. I hopped in last second to help a friend.
And that's sort of like a really big point. And I think with the game going back to Destiny 1 lookalike, with Vault of Glass coming in, with some changes which are evidently going to be coming in, I'm really, really hoping, although I know it's going to happen, that we have no barriers and no bloody unstoppables and know that those champions are going to be in there, which pains me beyond belief. But I think we're going in quite a good place. So we are getting to around the end of the segment, and at the end of the podcast we do a thing which we like to call the last word, which is where you get to push absolutely anything you want. Up until last week, it's always been a way of being able to promote yourself, tell people where you are, when you stream, any sort of like links that you kind of want to push forward, you can do, and I'll put them all in the description of the YouTube video, or if there's anybody you just want to give shout outs to. So Mr. Pigeon, if you want to give your last word.
Yeah, I've got a few last words though.
Hey, that's fine, you go ahead, man.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's been amazing.
Appreciate it.
Good discussion. Mano a mano. wow, don't know what to say. I think I'll do my shout-outs first. Not sure who tagged me in the original tweet for getting on the show. I know Anubis was there picking me up. Props to him. He's a fantastic support. I just want to like, thank my community. In fact, I'll tell you even better. I thank anyone that's made it to the end of the show. This point in time, my community, if you're listening, I love yous all. Can't wait to play more Destiny with yous. If yous all want to actually catch me on Twitch, it is twitch.tv/pigeon, PIJINNN. Actually, that was based on MySpace, by the way. I get that nickname, that type style. That's where that name came from.
Really?
I was nicknamed Pigeon at high school. And MySpace happened, and I typed it in a font. I said, you know what, I'm just going to call myself Pigeon on MySpace, but I'll type it like this, and here we are. flipping, what, 10, 12 years later, and then some. It's so random, isn't it? Too many people to thank, man. Everyone on Twitter that makes my day-to-day engagement and passion, like, go by so smoothly and puts a smile on my face while I'm at work or out and about. You guys are the best, definitely. I think that's it. I think I covered most of what I wanted to say.
Awesome. Guys, if you are watching this in video format on YouTube, then you'll be able to find all of Pigeon's links down in the description. Make sure you go and drop him follows, go and drop him subs absolutely everywhere that you can. This guy is unmatched and someone that you are definitely going to want to have in your directory in the future. Massive shout out to Pigeon for coming on the show. Thank you very much for giving us your time. Really, really appreciate that. And guys, we are hitting the end of the show. So thank you so much again for listening in and for watching. If you are on YouTube watching the premiere or watching this in video format, then make sure you're smashing that beautiful blue thumbs up and subscribing with post notifications turned on so you don't miss another podcast here on the channel. If you are watching this on Apple, a 5-star rating would be greatly appreciated with a high-end review. We want to start reading those at the beginning of the podcasts just to sort of emphasize how much these creators are actually doing for you guys. So make sure you leave a review and stick a comment down. Thanks again for watching, guys. I appreciate all of your damn faces. But as always, up until the next time, I'll see you in the clouds.